don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, December 30th, last show of 2012,
Pete. Yep.
That's exactly the perfect response that I was looking for. Heath and I are here bright and early in the morning. Hope that some of you are here with us live, and for those of you that are going to watch it later, I don't blame you for sleeping in. The show is awfully early. You have a good Christmas, Heath?
Not too bad.
Okay, good. I had a good Christmas.
Still had to work though.
Yeah, on Christmas Day, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got paid. I didn't get paid on Christmas Day. It's one way to look at it. At least it's an effort to make it better. I had a good Christmas. I hope all of you out there had a good Christmas, and are gonna have a safe New Year. I heard a statistic, Heath, that was actually on driving in on the way in. That 48% of all traffic fatalities happen within a week of New Year's. Like, just dominate. This week dominates the crazy driving. I mean, I think you have all the partying and traveling, and then you top it off with there's usually some bad weather.
Usually, yeah, with the winter stuff we had in the Central Plains, tornadoes down in the south.
Exactly, but 48% of all traffic fatalities within a week of New Year's was I don't even know if it's right. Don't anybody quote that, but I heard that on the radio on the way in, and if that's true, we need to reduce that. We need to lower the total number of traffic fatalities, and this is a great week to try and do it. So I by no means am above. I'm going to have some drinks tomorrow night on New Year's. Just don't get behind the wheel of a car, because it never goes well. Even if you don't hurt yourself or someone or your car, there's always the risk of going to jail, which is not necessarily a good thing either. So line up a way to get around tomorrow night, no matter how drunk you are, without doing the driving yourself, because it's just not worth it. Even if you think you're safe and not going to hurt anybody, jail sucks too. So that's my incredibly well thought out be safe for New Year's speech right there. The other current event type thing that I wanted to talk about was the fiscal cliff. If you don't know what the fiscal cliff is, no one really knows exactly what it is, but that's not true. I mean, there's some hyper nerdy economic people that know somewhere what it is, but because of several things that are going to happen, including we're heading towards $17 trillion in debt in the United States. The 2010 Tax Relief Act is set to expire. The Republicans and the Democrats in Washington, D.C. are whiny, crybaby idiots, and you combine all of those things together, and we're actually at a point where bad things could start to happen in a more pronounced way if we don't figure out these money woes of the United States. $17 trillion in debt, and we just keep spending and don't really ever change things. You know, there's that graphic going around on Facebook that takes the U.S. fiscal numbers and takes 8 zeros off of them and compares them to a household. as far as how much money they bring in, how much money they spend, how much debt they have, and how many cuts, how much actual cuts in spending they've done. And I don't want to get into the details of it because I think it's long and boring details, but we have to stop spending so much money. Yes, I think we need to do things different with taxes and collect more money on taxes. But we're going to have to make drastic, and they're going to have to be hardcore cuts, the kind of cuts that sting people. And as Americans, we're just going to have to kind of suck it up. Nobody from Washington, D.C. wants to say that because it doesn't lead to you getting reelected. If you look into a television camera or talk into a microphone and say that the American people have to suck it up. But I firmly believe it's going to come down to that. It's going to come down to individual Americans having to dig a little deeper and give up some luxuries and not live these, for the most part, kind of sweet cherry lives that we have as Americans compared to the rest of the world. And we're going to have to suck it up and get this thing fixed because we can't keep going down this path. And so many people that I talk to aren't concerned about it or don't think it's a big deal or don't get it or don't pay any attention to it. And it really is a big deal, folks, even for that the regular Joe or Joanne. It's, when you say regular Joe, is there a common phrase to include females? Joanne? Can we start regular Joanne as a...
It's your show.
Yes, it is. That's what I like. That's what I like, Heath. Nobody's listening because it's 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. But it really, this whole fiscal mess really is something that I think that this fiscal cliff is going to drive a whole bunch of people to pay attention to because things are going to stop. There's going to be cuts that are big and nasty that actually start to affect the regular Joe out there and Joanne on a at-home basis, and you're going to feel it. So hopefully we have the guts. Hopefully we have some people in Washington that have the guts to actually make the change. And I think President Obama will be much more willing to make some drastic changes, you know, things that are going to sting on Main Street as well as on Wall Street, because he has no chance to, you know, he can't run again, so he doesn't need to get reelected. But at the same time, he'll protect his legacy and be somewhat safe. I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is other than it's time to do something drastic. And it's time for all 350 million of us to suck it up a little bit and to take a hit and just realize that we may have to give up some of the material and financial luxuries that we have as Americans, and you go clear back to every time something big and drastic has happened in the United States. In the past, we've seen Americans do it. We've seen Americans live simpler lives for the sake of the country getting through something. And it's kind of what makes America great, actually. It's kind of a cool thing that in the past, when drastic, horrible things have happened as a country, we've come together and made individual personal sacrifices for the greater good of the whole country. And hopefully someone in Washington, D.C. sees that forcing that to happen is the only way that we're going to get out of this ridiculousness of a checking account ledger that we're running as a country, because it's not good, and it's the main reason behind our economy, our economic woes in business right now, is because big businesses don't have the confidence in America to go out and spend the money that they have. They're scared that something big is going to happen, so they're saving their money, which then fouls up the economy because they're not spreading it around and hiring and giving raises And some of it's overreaction, yes, and you can be mad at big business, but if it's their job to protect those profit and loss and balance sheets, and they're not going to do it when the entire economic system that their business runs within is on the verge of a cliff. As long as we keep using this word cliff, big businesses are going to, and as long as there is continues to be the potential of us falling off a cliff, big business is going to continue to hold on to their money. So I know everyone's talking about it. I actually sent out a tweet and a Facebook status sometime in the last couple of days that every time I hear them say fiscal cliff, Cliff Clavin from Cheers. Did you ever watch Cheers?
It's been a while.
Yeah, but man, it was a great show. And Cliff Clavin, anyway, that's my favorite Cliff in the world. And I wish we were talking about him instead of the fiscal cliff, because he was funny and the fiscal cliff is stupid. But anyway, that's the current events that were on my mind. When we come back from the first break here, we're going to talk. I titled the episode Social Media for the Regular Joe. My real job, as opposed to this hour a week that I spend talking into this big fuzzy microphone. My real job is I do marketing consulting for businesses of all sizes. And a lot of that concentration right now, a lot of the talk is concentrated on social media, digital communications and those type of things. So I wanted to talk. I don't think we've covered it on the show since episode one, where we talked a little social media stuff with Becky McCray. That was 25 weeks ago. So I want to talk a little social media for non-business, social media for the everyday citizen. That's why Regular Joe was on my mind, because of the title of the show. Should have put Joe in so we were politically correct. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with Cody Talks.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You are round MVP.
Yeah, man. Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to Brian.
Oh, yeah. High score, baby.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you have the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help you get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
KSKU. Cody Talks.
All right, we're back. We just got through with the, what do we call it? First part? Current events. The current events part. Can I keep up, Heath? We just got done with the current events. I wanted to talk today about social media because I still see a lot of people, still a big topic of conversation. It's a huge time in history that with what we're going through with the way that people communicate, share their lives, interact with other people's lives, and just all around gossip and communicate. I give this presentation. The closest thing that I do in my professional world, I speak to kids sometimes about social media, and the benefits of it. Let's back up a second. That's a huge part of it. We're gonna go through some do's and don'ts, some pros and cons. Social media, digital interaction, internet interaction and communication are way, 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 way more of a good thing than they are a bad thing. I'll take the next 45 minutes of your day here trying to prove that to you. But I firmly believe it. There's so much more good and potential positive that can come out of it, than there is bad, that all of the naysayers, all of the people that hate it and refuse to use it, are really missing out on the ability to be better human beings, better members of their community, better parents and friends. It's way more of a good thing than a bad, but at the same time, there's some very, very specific and critical bad things that can happen from it. It's just like driving. Our country would have never gotten to where it was without the invention of the automobile. We would never be able to see the things and the people, and enjoy the world the way we do without the invention of the automobile. But there's bad things that come with it that you need to pay attention and focus on when you're driving and know what you're doing and gain some experience and be taught by a smart person, to try and limit the possibility of bad things happening when you're driving. It's the exact same way with social media. And in fact, it's that kind of a time in history. The car being driven completely changed the world, and social media is doing the same thing now. It's creating new industries and eliminating old industries. It's doing all sorts of crazy things to the world. We live in this, we're getting to experience, and I think it's cool that we're a part of it, but we're truly experiencing a huge change in the way that society operates. Just in the last 15 years, we've gone from the main way that you communicated with your friends was picking up a phone that's hooked to a line, that's hooked to an outside line, that's actually literally hooked to the line that they pick up and talk to you, to now. Yeah, see, there's still one here in the studio. We don't know if it's plugged in, but there still is one here. And, you know, 15 years ago, that was the primary means of communication, with anyone. If you needed to talk directly to someone, that was the way you did it. And if you needed to share something with a large group of people, you conference called. I mean, that was about the magnitude of your ability to share things. Maybe 15 years ago, we were starting to send mass emails. But in that 15 years, it's progressed from landline phone to email, really to texting, and now social media communication, whether it's private or public, is the top way that people are communicating and sharing information. And, you know, Facebook has broke the billion user mark, and nothing's ever been that big. No single medium owned by one company has ever had that many people that you have the ability to communicate, learn from, share with. It's a huge, huge time. And I really feel I have an understanding, but I also feel a little bit sorry for people of any age that absolutely refuse to get involved with it, because the reason that they don't is they've heard a horror story, or they think it's a giant waste of time, or they think it's a dumb kid's toy or whatever, and they don't realize that the key to the whole thing is that you can use it exactly as you want to. And I started 5 minutes ago to talk about community stuff, and a lot of the speaking and presenting and consulting that I do about communications, not a lot of it, but a small portion of it has started to become working with communities in community development stuff, economic development stuff, reestablishing community type projects in small and medium sized towns. And this is one of the incredible pros that can be accomplished with this. I have this presentation called Back to Mayberry, where I talk about how on the Andy Griffith Show, you know, everybody knew everybody. And yes, there's a downside to that, but the good side to that was everybody helped everybody. The kids didn't want to disappoint people, because they knew the lady next door and didn't want to disappoint her. So there was less of them throwing rocks through her window type scenarios. Andy had the easiest job in the world as a police officer because he just walked up and down Main Street and saw everyone in town and knew what was going on. We're never going to have that again because of time constraints. People don't just stroll around as much as they used to and do neighborly type things. But you can actually connect. You can actually get involved in your community, in a way, sitting at home in your pajamas and having conversations with people. And it may be people that you're friends with and have known, but you don't see. There's a ton of that, right? People that live right here in our little hometown, it's amazing how I'll go years without seeing them. But I try, and I think it's one of the biggest positives I've found in social media is I try to interact and be a part of my community as much as I possibly can. I do it in person too and think that's important, but I try to do it more and take it back to a level of truly having a sense of community. You can do that on Facebook because people are out there and they're talking about their causes and thoughts and what's going on in their world, in their community, in their neighborhood. And I'm not talking about private family gossip. I know that happens too, but that happens in every medium. It's not a social media thing. It's just that's what it's fun to talk about it being a problem right now. People sharing too much. It's their choice. It's not social media's fault. People lying and sharing information about someone else, that's a human problem. That's not a social media problem. And again, the benefits outweigh it. And I do truly, I have this wish or desire to sit down with every person in the United States that actually refuses to get on Facebook or Twitter or some type of social media medium and talk to them about how much they're actually missing and how much they could be accomplishing, how much fun they should be having. And I hope that they would see that there's so many positives that can come out of it and not be so consumed with all of the possible negatives that they've heard about it. Because I've seen some really, really cool relationships develop, relationships get rekindled or energized, and just positive things happen out of this insanely huge ability and potential to communicate, interact, and share that Facebook, Twitter, just the internet and web 2.0 type stuff in general brings to the world. It's not everything in the world has negatives. Every cool, innovative thing that we've ever done has the potential for it to go wrong, but it's always human error, that human error or human evil or human misguidedness that makes any innovation produce negative consequences. It's not the fault of Facebook that some of the people on it are annoying and won't quit inviting you to play Farmville. It's not the fault of Twitter that some people just send out what they're eating and what their dog's doing. It's not the fault of these mediums. It's human error. And the joy of social media is it's your fault if those things are on your screen and bothering you. It goes back to a personal responsibility issue that I don't want to get into, but Facebook will not get you in trouble or annoy you or bore you unless you let Facebook get you in trouble or annoy you or bore you. It's very much all about how you participate in it. If it's, if Facebook is, if any type of social media, if the internet, really if anything in the world, is annoying to you and boring to you and gets on your nerves, it's your fault because it's the way that you're using it. I wrote a blog post yesterday or the day before actually titled, "It's Your Fault," because I think that it drives me nuts. The blog post wasn't specifically about social media, but it drives me nuts the way that people get angry at things like how much stupid gossip is on their Facebook page. And Facebook didn't put that stuff there. You did by friending that person or liking that page or not controlling your privacy settings or not blocking that person. And we've got to, in society in general, we've got to stop blaming other people or devices or computer software. We do so much of blaming someone else for this thing that we don't like when 99.9 times out of 100, it's our fault that we don't like this thing or it's not going the way we want or that this thing is even involved in our lives at all. We're going to talk about some of the specifics of it being your fault if you don't like it when we come back from our second break here on Cody Talks.
Not one phone call. No one understands your darn newspaper classified ad.
Sir, I am looking at our darn newspaper classified ad now, and it is perfectly clear. Sir, Ingrid missed hip, expect to perf to cap, you duck, nick, filler, pit, tim, immediate, open, exit, pennies.
What does that mean?
Sir, you place the ad.
With a newspaper classified ad, you get very limited space. Most job seekers don't speak classified ease.
Sir, Ingrid is short for senior engineer.
Well, we need to change the ad.
Well, you missed today's deadline, but if we hurry, your new ad will appear in,
please.
3 days.
Oh, no.
Today. Your recruitment alternative has arrived. Online at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com. CentralKansasHelpWanted.com, difference number one. You have unlimited words to describe the position. Two, the ad is placed instantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Three, once you placed your ad, you can search the online database of local resumes. All for a cost lower than your newspaper ad. Browse your way online at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Hey, get out of the road! You get out of the road! At least my bumper's not falling off! Oh, great.
In many states, if you're a young man turning 18, you can't get a driver's license if you don't register with the Selective Service System at SSS.gov. Which means if you don't register, you could be doing a whole lot of this. KSKU. Cody Tom.
All right, we're back. We're talking about social media and kind of closed out that last segment talking about how all of the negative things that you don't like about social media are your fault. They're actually, and it's important to me that you get what I'm talking about. If you don't like, if someone comes up to me and says, "Oh, I tried Facebook, but I can't stand it because of all the drama that people put on there." Not everyone just overloads their Facebook page with personal drama. The reason that your Facebook page is like that, if it really is the people that you chose to have show up on your timeline. And I don't like Facebook because I don't want everyone to know what I'm doing. Again, if on Facebook everyone knows what you're doing, that means that you're posting things out there. Why would you post something out there that you don't want people to know about? Just don't put it on the internet. Again, it's a whole personal responsibility issue that the things that go wrong on Facebook are, in fact, your fault. If someone finds out something, how could they have possibly found it out if you didn't post it on there? And so don't post it up there. I post a lot on social media. Not, I don't think, an overbearing amount, but I could be wrong. And in fact, if you think it's overbearing, don't follow my stuff. And that whole concept of it's not a bad thing unless you use it in a bad way is, I think it's a gigantic societal problem in the United States. And it's completely the total definition, description, and reason behind why people come back at you with negative stuff about social media. Most of the people that I talk to, and it's, again, it's what I do on a daily basis, is present to groups of people and then consult with companies about digital communications. But right now, all they want to talk about in the marketing world is social media. I try to drive businesses away from that mindset of social media is the giant answer to all of our woes. It should be a part of a marketing plan, but it's not a holy grail. Anyway, the standard old guy in the room that comes back and says, oh, I'm not going to do that because, you know, nobody wants to hear what I have to say, or I'm not going to share my information with the world. 99 times out of 100, they're already doing it. They really are. They're doing it, but they're putting on this image at work of they're too old and sophisticated for Facebook, so they don't talk about it. And it drives me bananas to people that do that, but whatever, that's their prerogative. I've taken to, now that I've kind of gotten myself somewhat or moderately established, and my confidence is gained when I'm standing and presenting to people. And at the end, in the question and answer periods, when I ask, you know, who just refuses to use Facebook and the hands that go up, early on, several years ago, when I was first starting to present and speak to people, I would kind of sheepishly tell them, that's okay if you don't want to do it. You know, to each their own. And I still think to each their own, but now I take this more somewhat aggressive posture and ask, why do you not use it? You know, is there any way I can convince you to try it because of all these cool things that you could accomplish, or for the aid of your business, or just to reunite with some friends of old? And they say dumb things like, there's no one in my life that I want to reunite with. That's not true. Everybody has a friend out there somewhere. Or they say, oh, it just leads to people having affairs. And no, it doesn't. People having affairs leads to people having affairs. And this tool that we have at our hands has such an ability to connect, reconnect, reestablish community. The vast majority of the people that I talk to on social media live within 100 miles of me. It's a really cool tool for me to be able to keep in touch with people who, because of work and kids and taking care of the house and all the responsibilities that I have in my little 4-person community, I don't have the time that I'd like to have, or maybe I do, but I'm not willing to sacrifice it, to get out into my bigger community of my hometown and my state and even my country. So it gives me that ability to do that in the evening when the other option is to watch some moronic show on television. I make a point to not let it personally, or not let it in my family, become such a big deal that, you know, people want to say it takes away from family time. It doesn't take away from family time unless you let it take away from family time. I do the vast majority of my social media interaction during the work day or after everyone else in my house has gone to bed, because all I did was make a decision to not let it take away from family time. It's something that I control, and it's all something that I control. I don't share things that I'm not willing to have out in the public, because even though I have my friend settings set and privacy settings set how I want them, it's still possible for someone to just screenshot what I posted and share it with the world. So I don't share things that I'm not prepared to have shared with the world. It it blows my mind the negative responses and the lame excuses that people come up with to make social media, in internet communications, a more dramatic or more potentially devastating tool than it is. It's yes, there's absolutely things that could go wrong, and absolutely people need to be taught how to use it and learn how to use it right. But what an incredible thing. And here's proof positive. Mike Hayden, Mike, 6 minutes ago, sent a tweet to the show that says, Cody talks in the words of any CB user I got my ears on. Mike's a guy that, Mike, I apologize if I'm wrong, but I don't think I've ever met Mike in person. But he's a guy that I've talked to on Twitter for several years now, learned a lot from, laughed with, had some good conversations with, been involved in groups of other people in conversations with. And it's one of the really cool things that have come out of social media for me is the people that I've met. I feel like I've have the ability to remain and become more worldly from the comforts of my chair at home or wherever I'm at with my phone, that there's people like Mike out there that can just make me a little smarter or make me laugh or help me find out some information that I need to know. And the positives of it so outweigh the negatives that I wish just more people listened to this show so we could convince more people of it. But you can use these tools for anything you want. You can use them for entertainment, for research, for just socializing, for expanding your business network, for relating, finding out what people are thinking, what's going on in the world, staying on top of world affairs. And as long as you use some common sense, it's literally the greatest tool for any of those things that exists in the world. And until we get past this dramatic, want to make it a horrible thing phase, which we will, I think that happens with every innovation that happens in the world. I mean, you know, when the car came out, someone said everyone's going to die in car wrecks and there won't be anyone left in the world. And they made it a big catastrophic event. And when the phone came out, and when the television came out, right? When the television was invented, probably had as big of a negative effect or bigger, that the negative effect that came with it was probably bigger than that comes with social media because of the number of people that just plop down in front of that stupid box and quit burning a single calorie in their lives. But it's also a phenomenal way and to grow and expand your mind and learn new things. And there's been a huge effect on our history that has more positive than negative. And the negative is only a negative if human beings allow it to be a negative. Same thing with social media. I'm reiterating that too many times, but it's very important to me. Very quickly, privacy is something that I actually want to get specific on. All of these, every social media medium out there, whether it's Facebook, which is the king of them all in user numbers, or Twitter, which I think is the coolest one, best interactions, best engagement with people, best conversations happen there. Google Plus, whatever, all of them. The privacy settings on them are something that you shouldn't take for granted. Something that you should take just a little bit of time and go in and learn. Because you can actually post on any of these things and no one but you can read it. Now, that's ridiculous, right? I can't comprehend why you would want to do that. But they have those type of privacy settings where you can take it down that far all the way up to everyone in the world can read it and several different levels in between. Actually, if you're going to talk about Facebook or Google Plus, you can pick very specific places to send out information. So it's your fault if someone sees something that you posted that you didn't want them to see, because you have the ability to trim all of that down. Again, when you send to your friends, you have to have an amount of trust with your friends that they're not going to screenshot it and reshare it with the world. But really, that it all goes back to personal responsibility issue. If you don't want it shared with the world, don't post it on the world wide web, and that problem's completely taken care of. So take the time, go to the little asterisk looking starburst in the top right of your Facebook screen, drop it down, click on privacy settings, and go through them. They've broken it down into the simplest of terms, and take the time to look at it, go through it, make sure it's set the way you want. Then first and foremost, don't complain about somebody seeing something that you posted on the internet. If you're not willing to have it seen by the world, don't post it on a social network on the World Wide Web. And all of this privacy stuff that people complained about Facebook, it's not a problem. It's not a place for personal stuff that you don't want shared, because that's what it's all about. It's all about sharing and interacting and communicating with others. So if you just accept the personal responsibility part of it, and then take the time to go through your privacy settings, we could get past all of these privacy arguments. And it drives me bananas, because it's your fault. It's your fault if someone finds out something about you on Facebook that you didn't want them to. Plain and simple, don't put it up there. The biggest thing that I spend time talking in schools and kids about, and to kids about, is what a massive effect this could have on our children if we don't take the time to deal with it, teach them how to do it. And when we come back from this commercial break here, we're going to talk about talking to kids about social media and how imperative it is. It's just as important in 2013, 2 days from 2013, Heath. It's just as important in 2013 to talk to them about social media as it is to teach them to drive. We'll be right back.
Wichita, get ready, because your favorite Monster Jam superstars are coming to Get Down in the Dirt for the first time ever. The event's all parts Monster Jam. Don't miss a second of all the high-flying, dirt-spitting action featuring El Toro Loco and Grave Digger. And kids' seats are still just $5.
Get tickets at select seat outlets or the box office. Tickets subject to convenience facility and heaven charges. All seats, $2 more day of show.
January 12th and 13th in Trust Bank Arena.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage.
All kids will get over it. It's just a stage. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
When it comes to bullying, don't validate, eliminate. Adults have the power to stop bullying in our schools. I'm Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. It's up to us as educators, as parents, as adults, to stand up on behalf of bullied kids. It's caring adults that can stop bullying, fix it, and prevent it. Help us create safe, bully-free learning environments for all students. One caring adult can make all the difference. Be that adult and take the pledge at nea.org/bullyfree. That's nea.org/bullyfree.
A message from the National Education Association.
KSKU. Cody Talks.
All right, welcome back to Cody Talks. We're talking about social media uses for the regular Joe and complaints and gripes. And I just got a text from a friend. When people text me, I assume that they're doing it privately, so they don't want to know who it was, so I won't say who it was. But this is the text that I just received from a friend of mine, who's listening to the show, so it pertains to social media. This is a quote. it becomes an addiction. Have you ever tried to carry on a conversation with someone face to face who has their smartphone on, who has their face, okay, that who has their ever on their smartphone the entire time you're speaking to them? This is absolutely true. Social media has affected the manners of people. And it's people young and old, but the younger that someone gets, the more apt that they are to have their phone in their hand, thumbs cranking away while you're having a conversation with them. And it's definitely, that's definitely one of the downfalls of it. And I'll be the first to admit, that there's been times when I should have stowed my phone while I was talking to someone and haven't because of something that I thought I needed to get done, or, and it's not always business. I sometimes pretend that it's business and something important. And I've made a, real conscious effort to deal with that. Again, I want to say that that's not a social media or a texting or a smartphone problem. That's a people problem. It's a manners problem, compounded, made worse, and emphasized, exaggerated by social media and texting and the amount of smartphone concentration that there is in the world now. But that's a manners problem, and it leads very well into what I wanted to talk about in this last segment is, I also have given, I gave a presentation one time called We Teach Them to Drive, meaning there's really nothing more dangerous, that we as whenever, I don't know when it is in every state, but in Kansas at 14, we kind of have this system in place where we start teaching children to drive. We take 14-year-olds and we put them behind, we put them in control of 5,000-pound masses of metal that we expect them to be able to take down the road at 70 miles an hour, which is in turn fast enough for them to completely crush another 5,000-pound piece of metal. But at 14, we have this entire system in place to teach them how to do it right, get them some experience under the control and supervision of more experienced adults who are supposedly good at this task, and we teach them how to drive a car. I mean, we actually require them to go to a school, right? We require them to go to driver's ed, take tests, take another test, get all different levels of licenses to operate these things. And I'm not claiming that the government should get involved and create a license for social media, but as parents, we have to have a little bit of social media ed. We have to have a class where we get involved and supervise what they're doing. And you can't just turn your 8-year-old loose on Facebook because they don't know. They're 8. And if we don't take the time to teach them, take the time to give them a set of guidelines, take the time to show them, like, you know, in driver's ed, did you take driver's ed, Heath? Did you have to watch the, he said yes, but he forgot to turn his mic on.
Yeah,
before
I forgot to turn the mic on.
That's our studio engineer right there, folks. Bloody Ass or Red Asphalt. Did you ever have to watch those movies, Red Asphalt?
I don't recall.
Oh, well, we had to watch these movies called Red Asphalt, which was, I think they were all reenactments and kind of cheesy, but they were all like these bloody.
Weren't all the videos back then cheesy?
Yeah, well, yeah, and by today's terms, absolutely. I think these were cheesy by the terms of, you know what I mean? Back then, we thought they were cheesy. But they were videos that we watched of wrecks, of big giant wrecks, and how horrible a car wreck can be and how bad things can go if you don't pay attention, follow some guidelines, follow the rules, and be a smart driver. We have to do those same type of things with our kids about social media because they're kids. They don't realize it could go bad. They haven't seen it go bad. They don't understand what the right thing to do is. And like it or not, If you have a kid living in your house, who's under the age of 18, really under the age of 25 now, social media is going to be a part of their world. I do a lot of business now through it, actually arranging meetings and hashing out contracts. I do those things across Facebook, across Twitter, across LinkedIn, and it's a legitimate and recognized method of communication that you're cheating your kids out of their ability to operate in the professional world if you're not giving them a foundation of how to use it right, what to post, what not to post. You see some kind of a horror story every day of someone posted this on Facebook and it backfired on them. And 9 times out of 10, all of our responses to that is, why did they post it? You know, why did they put it up there? I guess if they're a criminal and, you know, if a bank robber posts a picture of him, posts a status update that's a picture of him holding the money, that's actually good for the rest of us, right? It made it easier to catch him. But the big overlying point, and quite honestly, it's the overwhelming point with the vast majority of things that are, that our kids get themselves into, is it's about parenting. Social media is not going to be the downfall of anything. It's not going to ruin anything. It's not going to ever go away, though. And because of that, I'm a firm believer that parents have a responsibility to get involved and take the time. You know, nobody wants to have, I don't think there's anybody out there that was ever excited about having the talk with their kids, right? Sitting down and talking to them about the birds and the bees, and it's awkward and it's weird for both parties, and it's just not a comfortable thing. But as a responsible parent, if you don't do it, if you don't do that, if you don't teach your kid how to drive, if you don't teach your kid how to operate a computer, you're cheating them. You're not giving them a base of knowledge that they need to lead a life, and participate in life in a way that makes them happy and successful by whatever their definition of successful is. You're cheating them as parents, and social media has become ingrained enough in our society, a big enough part of the day-to-day operation of the vast majority of Americans and nearly all of American young people, that as parents, you're cheating your kids if you don't sit down with them and discuss the right and wrongs. And then while they're still living in your house, be involved in the actions that they take that they're sending out and spreading all over to the entire world. And I see it happen every day. I see kids post things that their parents would be mortified if they knew they posted. And they're kids. It's their parents' fault if they did it. It doesn't mean that everyone that ever did it was a poorly parented kid. There's still going to be mistakes, and kids are kids, so they're going to do something dumb, and all those type of things are going to happen. But it has to become a part of your parenting. The biggest reason it's not right now is because the people that are parents right now, most of them weren't raised, you know, it's something new. That's why it's such a big part of history, is as a parent, I had to self-teach myself about social media so that I could then be an involved parent and teach my kids, because of how much they're going to be and already are involved in it. And I had to self-teach myself because my parents, when they were raising me, the internet didn't even exist, let alone Facebook, Twitter, Google+, all of these things. It's a huge time in history. All we've got to do is use a little common sense, take the time to do things right, accept the personal responsibility that if something goes wrong, it's our fault for not learning how to do it right or posting something that we didn't want shared. All the drama that people post all over Facebook and their personal woes and who their neighbor is sleeping with. It's not social media's fault. That's a people problem. Those people have an issue. Quite honestly, it's your fault. If that annoys you, just don't friend them. Hide them from your timeline. Don't follow them on Twitter. Make good quality common sense choices. And social media can just be a fun, interesting, entertaining, and educational thing for you. And if it's not, you know, it's your fault. Everyone in the world could gain something from it. If you have a Twitter account, you can take anything in the world that you're interested in and go out and find other like-minded people out there talking about it just by searching it in the search bar on Twitter. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. There is not something that's on your mind, whether it's from a research standpoint, an educational standpoint, a business standpoint, a family standpoint, a school standpoint, a church, anything. Anything that you want to find some like-minded people to talk with or contrary people, people that don't think the same way you do at all, Twitter is an amazing tool for that. And you don't have to follow anyone you don't want to follow. You don't have to ever tweet if you don't want to. You can just go read. It's a really, really cool tool. Facebook, I like, there's so many positives to Facebook of people that I'm able to stay in touch with, new people that I'm able to, kindle, relationships with, business relationships, and it's an amazing, amazing tool that only goes wrong if you let it, will only go wrong with your kids if you don't instruct them on how to use it properly. And it's not, the bad things are not the medium's fault. They're the operator's fault every single time, no matter what. Don't share things you don't want shared. Don't follow or friend people you don't want to follow or friend. And you'll find nothing but positive things coming out of it. So with that in mind, that's the end of my notes. Looks like we have about a minute left. Like to, I hope that everyone had a wonderful Christmas. I hope everybody just has a freaking blast tomorrow night on
Monday night. Yeah.
See, we're getting 26 weeks into this. I'm getting better at remembering that the date is right there on that computer and that I should know what the date is every time. Have a blast tomorrow night. Have a killer year in 2013. And thanks for, spending, how about 26? You know what? Is this 26 or 27?
This is episode 27.
Oh, crap. I thought it was some cool deal where we did it for exactly half a year, but we did it for half a year in 1 week. It's a lot of episodes, it seems like. All right. We're done. Heath and I are done. We're out of here. Thanks for listening. Have a great new year, and we'll see you sometime in 2013. Thanks for listening to Cody Talks.
Don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.